The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Boker Tov, good morning and Chodesh Tov. Anthony Reich, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, Chodesh Tov to everybody. Sneaking out of lockdown, I think, is the way to describe things.
Tiptoeing.
And of course, you know, yeah, the one thing that doesn't make the news anywhere is that there was this little rocket that was fired on Friday evening from Gaza towards Israel. It kind of hardly even got reported. Fortunately, landed in an open area. There were no injuries, no damage was caused at all. It seems crazy that people in the south have to live even with a single rocket on a Friday night. And it hardly even makes the middle pages of the news.
Did the alarms go off? Did the red alert go off?
There was a red alert, yes. There was a red alert that went off that was triggered on Friday evening. But as I say, fortunately, all's well that ends well on this occasion. But we can't underestimate how dangerous it can be with rockets being fired randomly like this. One rocket this time, very little said or done. It was kind of, you know, just in the ordinary course of business, I suppose.
Anthony, before we continue, I'd need to wrap up the sports question. Otherwise,
please do.
I will be thrown out of the studio in 2 seconds. So, and maybe you even know the answer to this. I'm not sure. But, okay, so Louis Karpus's sports question this morning. Which South African runner won the silver medal in the 800 meters at the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta? David Zimmerman, you are the only person who got it correct. And it was, in fact, Ezekiel Sepeng. Everybody else is incorrect. And I suppose it also is a little bit difficult because Louis didn't specify gender. I will take that up with him for sure. All right, Anthony, let's get back to the real business and let's find out what's happening. So how's lockdown changed for you? I mean, are you able to now go out? Are you working from an office or has that not really changed? Your day-to-day stuff not changed?
So for many people, things have changed. Me personally, I'm not quite as affected by the way that the lockdown was carried out the last time around. But I think the people who are most impacted by the loosening of the lockdown this week is people who have children at kindergartens, because all of the kindergartens are open this week for the first time in a number of weeks since the Chagim for sure. And there was a lot of deliberation about whether or not to open the kindergartens this week, even in those cities that are considered to be red cities, cities like B'nai Brak and some parts of Jerusalem, which still have a red tag on them due to the number of infections that have come out of those areas. But the critical thing about kindergartens, and particularly, you know, children up to the age of six, is that it frees those parents to go to work or to be able to work from home, as the case may be, if those children are sent to school. So I think that that's really where most of the pressure comes from. Interestingly, the rest of the schooling system has not been opened up for frontal classes. Many classes are still being conducted remotely using online tools, but certainly schools not open. Having said that, Rabbi Kanievsky decided that he wanted to open the Haredi schooling system, and so announced on Saturday evening that the schooling system in the Haredi sector will reopen on Sunday, an official announcement. He then went back and corrected himself a little by saying, and people will be required to adhere to social distancing guidelines and Ministry of Health rules. However, the Ministry of Health rules say schools are closed. So there's no way in which you can adhere to Ministry of Health rules and reopen the schools, because those two things are really at odds with each other. And interestingly, the Minister of Health did threaten that he would actually impose sanctions on educational institutions that open in defiance of the government guidelines. And more than that, he warned that the government may consider revoking licenses and funding from institutions that don't adhere to government guidelines. And that kind of harks back to the words that were uttered by the New York State Governor Cuomo, who said that any schools in the New York State which open up and do not adhere to their health guidelines will lose funding. And I think that that's a very interesting and a very proper response to schools and educational institutions that don't adhere to the rules. The university year began yesterday online. No universities are conducting lectures in person on their campuses. So the academic year finally began for Israel's university students, but nobody moved from their homes as academic studies began again. And many other things have been happening in the background with the lockdown in place. So the main things that really changed, other than the kindergartens being reopened yesterday, is that now beaches are open for people to visit. Restaurants are allowed to serve takeaway meals, as opposed to only deliveries, which were allowed under the previous rules. In addition to that, people are allowed to venture a little bit further from their homes than the 1 kilometer limit that was previously in place. And offices and businesses are allowed to open so long as they do not provide service directly to the public. So if you work in an office in a company that doesn't have people from the public visiting you, then you are now entitled to work, obviously, within social distancing rules, and the so-called purple tag guidelines do apply. And yet those offices are now entitled to go back. So it's a slight lifting of the restrictions, gradual lifting of the restrictions. Lots and lots of cynicism, lots of cynicism. I've seen a front page article this morning saying Israel is heading towards its third lockdown, which is predicted to come around Hanukkah time. So that's, you know, one of the cynical views, which says we're opening now in order to prepare ourselves for the next lockdown, which is expected within the next 2 or 3 months. You know, countdown to the Hanukkah COVID-19 closure has begun today. Those are, you know, the kind of views that some people have expressed. And one can understand why there is a lot of cynicism about it, because people really have not been adhering to the rules. But the good news is that the number of infections, as published by the government, the official statistics show a massive reduction in the number of people being infected, in the number of people who have unfortunately passed away as a result of contracting COVID. There's lots of stories as well about kindergarten teachers who apparently all were supposed to have undergone a corona test, and many of whom have not managed to undergo this corona test. And therefore, again, people are predicting that as a result of that, there may well be many kindergartens that will need to close due to the spread of infection through the kindergarten system. We hope not. We hope that somehow this reopening will be a little bit more successful than the last one, that it won't result in a massive number of people, new infection, people being infected again by corona. But I guess only time will tell. And the truth of the matter is that the economy does need a little bit of breathing space. It does need to be open to operate. People do need to get back to work. The economy has suffered dramatically, and we do somehow need to get our economy working again.
Yeah, you know, Anthony, there's a lot of opportunities, though, to do things differently and do things better. I mean, if one looks at education, I think a lot of courses could move online. And now, instead of being limited to how many students you can have in that particular lecture hall at any given time, you can now have tens of thousands of people online, which makes it more affordable. It makes it more of a viable prospect. Obviously, it depends on the course. But I think that these are changes that need to happen, because accessibility to information and education, COVID-19 has been a game changer.
Definitely, there can be no doubt that the situation which we find ourselves has been a classic. Necessity is the mother of invention. Yeah. Because we have no choice. We've been forced to find ways, different ways to do things. I think that a lot of these education programs that you talk about were online anyway. There were certainly a whole host of educational opportunities online. It might be true that people weren't taking advantage of them to the same extent as they are now, because there is no choice. The problem is, of course, that there are certain things which are just irreplaceable. And for example, you know, when you look at primary school children, the ages of 7, 8, 9, 10,
I think it's
really, really tough. I think it's really tough for them to be learning online. And I think rather than kidding ourselves that they're learning online. I think that they're simply missing out on a real education right now, because that frontal system for those ages, I think, cannot really be replaced by an online system. And parents are enormously frustrated because they're having to police their children at home to get onto the system, to get onto the Zoom, to behave themselves. And I've no idea how a teacher can control a group of even 5 or 10 children of 7, 8, 9 years old in an online class. To me, you know, I take my hat off to any teacher who can succeed in doing that, because I think it's almost an impossible task. But that's what we have right now, and that's the reality of our situation, and we're making the best of it, but I'm not sure that it's ideal.
Yeah. Anthony, one of our Israeli listeners listening in from Israel, she says, please, I must ask you if you can travel from one city to another by bus. That's from Rene.
So the answer, Rene, is that you are allowed to travel by bus. Buses are operating, and there's no restriction on bus travel. But obviously, people have to be sensible, and having crowded buses and people sitting next to each other is not the best way to go about things. And of course, wearing masks is an absolute requirement. I have seen many buses that are adhering to the rules, where people are really doing the right thing. And of course, many buses where, unfortunately, they're not adhering to the rules. And now with children being allowed again, school students to go to the beaches, because up until now they haven't been allowed to do that during the summertime, and with the schools not being fully back operational, my expectation is that many middle and high school kids will be looking to go to the beach while the weather is still good, and they're allowed to go, and the buses that travel to the beach may well be full, or maybe fuller as a result of these people trying to take advantage of the beaches. Be careful and be sensible, I think, is always the best watchword.
All right, let's talk foreign policy. And Israel has signed further cooperation agreements with Bahrain and the UAE. So what are these agreements about?
So another first today, a really exciting first. The first Etihad passenger plane has landed in Israel this morning on a direct flight from the UAE. So that's really a great first moment for Israel. And apparently an agreement has been reached by which there will be 28 weekly passenger flights traveling between Abu Dhabi, Dubai and Tel Aviv, as well as numerous charter flights and also cargo flights, many charter flights being chartered to the Ramon Airport near to Eilat. So already a lot of activity going on. This whole process of opening up the diplomatic relations between Israel and the UAE and Israel and Bahrain has been a real eye-opener to me. Not only the fact that we actually got those agreements signed, but the way in which people are massively taking advantage of it so, so rapidly. It's just been something to behold. It's been almost as if though the flood waters have just been allowed to flow, the dam wall has bust and the water is just flowing, and there's no way of stopping all the cooperation that's going on backwards and forwards between Israel, the UAE and Bahrain. And of course there was that inaugural flight that was went to Bahrain yesterday, headed up by Israel's National Security Advisor Meir Ben Shabbat, traveled on LY973 for the first time to Manama in Bahrain to go and sign those agreements officially on behalf of the Israeli government, accompanied by senior officials from the U.S. administration, including Steve Mnuchin, the U.S. The U.S. finance person, the head of the U.S. Treasury, and he accompanied as well as David our U.S. ambassador to Israel and many other U.S. Officials as well. The thing that I really loved, the photo opportunity that I really loved about the trip that was made to Bahrain yesterday to sign the joint communique and to establish peaceful and diplomatic relations, is the scene of the Bahraini officials receiving the Israeli delegation at Manama Airport. And of course, all of them were in their traditional white dress with the kefir, you know, as we would expect to see in the Arab world. And Meir Ben Shabbat, who's a pretty short guy and seemed to be quite overtowered almost by many of these much larger, taller people, all with their white garb, very, very traditionally dressed. Quite a short guy, very, very neatly dressed with his kippah. I think that was just the real message. It was a fantastic photo opportunity and a real message that was being sent about cooperation between the two countries. Hats off to Meir Ben Shabbat for going there with his kippah on, for speaking in Hebrew, for speaking in Arabic when he landed in Manama, and of course quoting from the Torah portion, which of course is Parashat Bereshit, where he talks about God separating darkness from light and talking about the fact that together we will be spreading the light and increasing the good. A really, really eventful day. David Friedman, of course, the U.S. ambassador to Israel on the flight, together with the international negotiations special representative Avi Berkovich and Steve Mnuchin, as I mentioned before, the U.S. Treasury Secretary. So really a great moment for Israel. And the way in which people are cooperating and the business is flowing is phenomenal. Really, really fantastic news.
Incredible. Anthony, I don't think either of us thought that we would ever see this in our lifetime. And on that note, I'd say I will speak to you tomorrow morning. Have a wonderful day. Stay safe. Stay cool. And wear a mask. Don't drink the hand sanitizer, Anthony Reich. God bless. Bye-bye.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Cheers. Bye.